do take your seat.
We have been in the Paul's epistle to Corinthians for the last few weeks, and for the present I think that today is the last one, and we haven't gone further than chapter 3. Perhaps one year I should pick up that when talking or preaching from one epistle or gospel, that maybe looking a bit more deeply the whole epistle or the gospel, but that is sometime in the future. And from 1 Corinthians, that most of the time focus been on the division within the body of Christ. When I started to look at that, what to sit under the Lord, to see that what the Lord wants me to preach or say today, and naturally when you have been preaching for a long time, you look what you have preached before. And I discovered that actually in these 4 years I have been here, I have preached either on the division within the church or encouraging the unity within the body more than twice the amount of years I have preached. I have been here. So I guess that as I speak, some of the things perhaps will be familiar that you have heard me say before also, and partly it is also summing up what we have been learning these few weeks, because main focus was on the division within the church. My hope today is that we will do or learn two or three things. One is the division even within the body of Christ, which is unavoidable. And secondly, division that should be undesirable in the body of Christ. Then the causes and the solutions. And then, right at the end, a challenge, my hope, my prayer for us as a body of Christ. Unavoidable division. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, Jesus said, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." I guess here Jesus was talking about a division of between humanity, between those who belong to him and those who reject him. Those who are of his household, those who stay outside. Not that he doesn't love them, I'm sure he loves them equally. Man or a woman who belong to Christ is not supposed to be the same as those who are not yet with the Lord. That's why that division appears. But when we come to Paul's epistles, that he does talk about division, specifically division that which is unavoidable even within the body of Christ. And that division in Paul's epistles, and I believe in some ways come even today, because there are people that who want to have Christ plus something else. In Paul's days, it was most often about the law, Christ plus the law. And there can be today as well, I don't want to go into details, that where people have Christ, but something add with equals salvation. But the true church of Christ, people who know their God, his grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are very clear that salvation is only through the work of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. It is not earned by doing whatever we want or we think we should be doing. Doesn't mean that we should not encourage a wonderful or highest standards within the Christian community. You know that I often, when you get older, you have been preaching for 31 plus years, and it is natural that you sit, you think a little bit more than perhaps those who haven't spent that much time in teaching and preaching. And I often think that there is something going on that as though the world is moving towards harmonizing the religions, that somehow that they don't offend anybody or anyone. And I guess that when the move is like that, the pressure on the people, those who want to preach the gospel as it is, the pressure will grow, and that division, what I'm talking is unavoidable, most likely will come. And I guess that some of you who do read Church of England newspapers, you know that even within our church, those sort of things are being talked. But let us hope and pray that we never lose this understanding that our salvation depends only upon God's grace through faith in the finished work of Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to the church in Corinthian, that there may have been theological divisions as well, but mainly what Paul is talking, divisions which should not be within a family of God. And these are the second which I call the undesirable divisions. And here I will be giving few examples, but please do know it doesn't mean to belittle any my brother or sister, nor to draw any kind of attention to myself, but just to make the point. There are, of course, endless reasons that may cause division within the body of Christ. When the door of the church is open for all to come in and be welcomed, and different people, different views, different tastes, that is understandable that there could be, you know, that juggles and a bit of a pull and push. But the point is that people like me, in my position, we should always encourage the unity rather than the divinity. But as I say, that Paul has mentioned, there are many reasons which could be mentioned about the division, but at the heart of all the division or misunderstanding of all, whatever you want to call, within the body of Christ is because of two or perhaps three reasons. I did speak about this one a couple of weeks ago too. First of all, when we as a church, and I don't mean St. Mary's Church in particular, but any church, when we take our eyes away from the Lord, and then what happens, that we fill the gap with some human heroes, human wonderful people in our eyes, when the eyes are away from the Lord. But if I have got some human hero, somebody else is going to have a human hero as well, and then which that leads to division. Second is that when the church loses the sight about the purpose for what the church actually exists in the world. As I said earlier, that we should, of course, teach, we should strive for the highest standards within the body of Christ. However, the focus of the church is not about the moralistic standards, but it is about calling people out from the darkness into the light of Christ. Each man, each woman who belongs to Christ, they are the witnesses of Lord Jesus Christ. They are to be the light of Christ, so others may see that light and be attracted or come to that light, to the saving power of God. But church, when loses that sight, then of course that void again need to be filled by something. And when we start looking outwardly that others need to be brought into the kingdom, then it is very easy for the church folks to turn upon each other. And the third, I think, reason is when I want to be in the middle. I, my way, or the highway. If you don't agree with me, tough, out there you don't belong. When Paul opened up, he then mentioned few these reasons that were, but at the heart was really these three things what I'm mentioning. For instance, the personality cult, as even in today's passage he talked, that I belong to that apostle, I follow that apostle. I believe that happens when, as I said earlier, eyes are taken away from the Lord. When people forget that people like Napo, like Lynn, like Becky, Alan, Jill, and whosoever, they are just tools in God's hand, in His Spirit's hand, to be used for His glory. They are who they are, as Paul says, that who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But just the servants. I was somewhere in this country, an incumbent, where more than 70% of the congregation did not know any other minister than me. Most of them, they were new believers in Lord Jesus Christ. And you can just imagine that when they knew only me, that however you try to tell them that, no, it's not me, it is the Lord, you need to be focusing. But human nature, that I became a hero. When I left that place and a new person came to lead the church, and the time these folks, instead of my, kept begging and begging from distance that stop it, slowly but surely people started leaving the church. In that church, I used to conduct seminars. Even actually, seminars were conducted internationally from people from other countries came, especially for those seminars, over one particular religion. We don't need to mention the name. Lot of these sort of things happened in the church. Here and there, people of that particular religious group came to the Lord, but not in great numbers. The man who followed me, he hardly knew anything about that religion. But you go today there, and there would be very few places in this country that where people of that religious group are coming to the Lord, but coming to the Lord through the ministry of this man. And I often think that isn't it the Lord telling something to the people who left that church, that who is Napo, who is this, who is that? It is me, the Lord, who can do this. Your hero, he conducted all these seminars. Even from world, people came to attend that. But what was the result? But look now. Man who never conduct any seminars on that. Man who know very little about that religion. But my grace, I bring so many people from that particular religious group. And my hope, my prayer is that those who are gone from here, and one day when I will go from here, you will remember this. It's not about the people. It is not individuals. It is the work of the Spirit. The second problem they created for the division was my gift, my charisma is more valuable than yours. I believe that Paul wrote three chapters to show them that, hey, hang on, no one charisma is more important than the rest. Once again, personal example. That I went to certain parish as an incumbent, and the local ministers, they came to welcome me, as they often do. The last one to come and welcome me was the minister of the largest church in that particular area. The gentleman came, dear brother in the Lord, we sat in our sitting room, and once we settled with our cup of tea and coffees, and the very first question this brother asked me was this: and by the way, do you speak in tongues? And I said that yes, I do speak in tongues, and by God's grace I have been given the grace even to interpret the tongues. and his, he was right-handed, hand went up there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And me left-handed, I lifted my left hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whole that vicarage was sounding with that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But when this brother left, and suddenly, I said that he didn't ask me that do I know the Lord? And how stupid of me that I didn't ask him that, brother, why are you bothered about the tongue? Shouldn't you be asking that do I know the Lord? Another problem or the reason the people in that church they created was about the churchmanship. My churchmanship or my understanding of the functioning of the body of Christ is superior than yours. We boast on signs and wonders. That is in our church what happened. Well, tough. We believe in the wisdom. The great wisdom is given to us in our church. Again, you know that these are not the things which should divide the people. Signs and wonders are no such thing as separated from the wisdom and understanding and wisdom without the power of the Holy Spirit, where signs and wonders ought to take place, is nothing, as far as I do know. I remember a story one dear brother told. He was minister himself, and he one day went to the local grocery store, and there he met another person, not a minister, but a person from another church, who told him that they were praying for his church to be emptied. And he said, well, why do you want to pray that? He said, well, you don't have a pure gospel. You don't preach the pure gospel. We do. And this my minister friend asked him that, well, how? He said, well, take for instance our Holy Communion wine. I said, what about it? He said, it comes straight from the Holy Land. And this friend who was a minister, he was absolutely astonished and said, and what about the bread? He said, that comes from the local Sainsbury. Isn't it wonderful to be divided? But I'm not being, you know, that judgmental. As I said earlier, wherever people gather together, there is always these sort of possibilities because we come from all walks of life. But the point is that Paul said to this church that I did not speak to you like as to adults, but to the children. Of course, I'm speaking to the adults. But the reality is, there is actually something very positive. If he was speaking to the children, it means that there is always room for growth. And I believe somewhere there must be room in our church too to grow up and be more like Christ. And just remember this, finally. In our journey on earth, none of us ever become a finished product. Each stumble is a reminder that church is first a fellowship of sinners, then a company of saints. We fall, but every time we get up and continue our journey in Christ is a sign that we are maturing day by day. And may God give us the grace that we look at each other as Christ looks at us. You know, and this comes from here. When we look down upon a brother or a sister in the Lord, due to their differences, these petty differences, we despise the hand that is still at work on a finished product. May God give us the glory to love and respect each other in spite of our differences.